all going to die in a nuclear holocaust because we're too polite to mention the news?
Oh, I don't know.
That's my question. No, anyway,
I think there's a chance that it happened. Don't they have something called the Doomsday Clock?
Yeah! I wonder what's going on with that. So, shall we get started?
Okay.
And you can hear me okay?
Yeah.
I'm not garbled or anything?
No, not too bad. I could tell you're in a car, but it's not too bad.
All right. Well, let's get going then. Hey, gang! Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the return trip of free speech, because sometimes when you're driving somewhere, you get done with your business and you turn around and you have to go back. That's the return trip. And how is RBN like that? You figure it out. Okay, don't expect me to do all the work. So go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button, send badly needed shekels. All right. Well, today we've got with us Filbert. Filbert, welcome to the show.
Howdy. Glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here. And there's a lot going on. And we are recording this show. And there is a non-zero chance that before we get a chance to broadcast this show, that we all might die in a nuclear Armageddon. It's a non-zero chance. I don't know. I haven't put the Las Vegas betting odds yet. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I was just looking at the doomsday clock, and the trend is that it's gone down.
Oh, yeah? Well, how many minutes to midnight are we? How many minutes to Armageddon?
It says, 2 minutes. I think, we are 1 2/3 of a minute away.
Oh, 1 2/3. Well, that's 100 seconds.
20. I'm sorry, that was in 2020. I don't know what it is for 2022.
Well, if we were only 100 seconds away in 2020, we're a lot closer now.
I mean,
you've had a lot of talk in nuclear war. When President Putin made his speech, he said that we're under nuclear threat. He's not just talking about Zaporizhzhia, the power plant. He said there are officials in NATO countries who have been talking about nuclear weapons. Now, what you have had, you've had a lot of warnings, for sure. You've had warnings from the likes, I think, of Mike Pompeo and others saying Putin shouldn't think of using nuclear weapons when he hasn't been talking about it. I shouldn't say nobody in Russia would talk about it. People in the Russian media have been talking about it, the Russian media, but not Putin or any of his spokesmen. And of course, in this speech, he said, if our territorial integrity or our, stability as a nation or our existence is threatened, we will retaliate with all available means, which includes nuclear. Has anybody really talked about a first strike? I mean, lots of people are warning each other against. They're warning each other against using nuclear weapons, or perhaps saying they're prepared to retaliate with nuclear weapons. The only person, and I can't even remember the name, but there was a Republican senator early on, a Republican senator, which is not exactly a member of the administration, but still, there was a Republican senator, I think from a western state, or maybe a southern state, who was saying that we should use tactical nuclear weapons, something like that. That's my recollection. I don't know what kind of recollection you have of, their actual nuclear threats.
I don't know, frankly. I just think the results are pretty devastating, and Russia's got these or they claim to have these hypersonic missiles that can go, you know, up to like Mach 10, which is 10 times the speed of sound, virtually can, it runs off of nuclear power from what I understand. So, and it can attach a nuke, a nuclear warhead tipped, in and of itself to that also. And so it can pretty much fly indefinitely and terrorize the rest of the world. That's pretty scary, to be honest. I don't know if we have anything like that. I think our programs have failed.
I don't think we do.
But, yeah, that's pretty scary to think about. Russia can terrorize the rest of the world if they want to, or they claim to. This doomsday clock, I think it's largely, kind of over, I don't know, overhyping is the right term, or, I think they're dramatizing. How about that? I'll use that adjective. I think they're dramatizing or over-dramatizing this a little bit. Cooler heads tend to prevail, but you never know. You never know. I honestly didn't even think an invasion would happen. And, you know, I was obviously proven wrong with that. So whatever I say will happen, the opposite will probably happen. So we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, well, and I certainly didn't predict that there was going to be an invasion. I remember when there was a lot of talk about it, because you kept hearing December, maybe even in November of last year, but certainly in December, you kept hearing these people in the American security establishment, the Defense Department or the State Department, they seemed to be running around with their heads off saying, who's going to invade, who's going to invade? And of course, at that time, the Russian position was still, let's abide by the Minsk Accords, which meant Minsk Accords would be that, Ukraine would respect the autonomy, not the independence, but the autonomy, like the cultural and linguistic autonomy of these two Donbass, provinces, regions, and they would, and then those regions would be reincorporated into Ukraine, but with autonomous status. And, you know, these countries in the Soviet Union, Yugoslavia, former Soviet countries, and they even China, I mean, they have these territories within their countries that are granted autonomous status. They get, you know, their extra home. Extra cultural autonomy, but they're still within the state. That's what the Russian position has been for almost 8 years. Again, people running around screaming, "Russia's going to invade! Russia's going to invade!" And was that a self-fulfilling prophecy? Maybe. But like I say, I didn't say Russia was going to invade, but I do remember maybe a week or two before the invasion, Mark Collett and I were talking about it on my show, and he didn't think there was going to be an invasion, and I didn't know. I said, I hope not, but if there is, I think I said I wish Vladimir Putin well. Maybe I said I wish Russia well, or I said something like I don't think he's going to, but if he does decide to invade, then I stand with Putin. I think that's what I said, I stand with Putin. Whatever. I didn't predict, I'm not saying I have, this clairvoyance and I predicted what's going to happen. And I don't, you know, you're correct. We have come to the brink of nuclear war before, and cooler heads do have prevailed. You know, we can think back to the Cuban Missile Crisis, but there you had, you know, the main people who were talking were Khrushchev and Kennedy. The Russians, the Soviets and the Chinese have come very close, but, you know, you had, there were Chinese people and Russian people. Right now you've got Jews. And yeah. I don't mean to always harp on this, but you've got Jews.
Anybody should Google the term Samson option. Samson option. Anybody who doesn't know what this means, Google the word or the term Samson option. It's a reference to a biblical figure that was being overran, or he was losing a battle. So it's a fictional story, obviously, but he brought down the temple, like brought down the pillars of the temple and brought down the roof and killed everybody. You know, it's that,
including himself.
Right, it's that thought of, well, if I'm not going to win, nobody is, and just they destroy the entire world. You know, this is what Israel has. It's called the Samson option, and it's where they blackmail and threaten or the rest of the world with nuclear, you know, Europe and America mainly. You know, they threaten the world with nukes if they feel like they're going to lose a war, or if they feel like their integrity is in jeopardy, if you will.
Yeah. And I want to emphasize that the Samson option is anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. If it's a conspiracy theory, it is a left-wing Jewish conspiracy theory, because the Samson option was brought to our attention to public by Seymour Hersh, who is a left-wing Jewish reporter. I think, did he work for the New York Times, or was he an independent journalist? He's a big deal, Seymour Hersh. And he, I think Seymour Hersh, was he involved in the uncovering the My Lai massacre? He goes way back. He's an old guy, but he's pretty respected. And he is the person who told the world about the Samson option. So it's certainly, it is not a right-wing anti-Semitic conspiracy. That's not where it comes from.
Yeah. If it's a conspiracy theory, it's an awfully well-documented conspiracy theory, because their own generals have come out and spoken about it. And they've said, I would look it up real quick, but I probably would take me too long, but if you Google Samson option, you'll probably find it. Or I'm sorry, not Google. I keep saying that. Don't use Google. Use something called Start Page. It's like Google without the tracking. But an Israeli general has come out publicly and said that they have nukes pointed at Europe and America. If we don't get our way, we're going to blast you away. And I don't know if that's, you know, how many nukes they have. They're just not public with it. So, but that's the definition of terrorism, is it not?
It is. It is. It's nuclear blackmail. And you know, I've talked about, like, the way I look at Jewish power, it's not a monolith. I look at the Jewish community, it's not a monolith. And you have, and it's not as if there are different factions at war with each other. But I do think you can put them into different categories, if you want to call them factions, whatever. But it's not like they're at war with each other. They just have different views of what's good for the Jewish people in general. I think that the vast majority of Jews, at some level, are concerned with what's good for the Jews. And I think I like to have look at them in two categories. I originally called, you know, one category the cash in your chips back tomorrow group, and the other is the double or nothing group. And as an abbreviated way, once in the conversation with David Duke, I said, you know, it's like crazy Jews and cunning Jews, you know, Jews who are willing to go slow, wait, you know, abide, trust the plan to the extent there's a plan. Or those who just want to double down and go as fast as you can. And I would say that since maybe the election of Donald Trump, or, you know, the events of 2016, yet, right, that you had Trump, that the crazy Jews, the impatient Jews, the double or nothing Jews are on the ascendancy. Because it seemed as if in, say, 2015, everything was going their way. you know, they were going to get Hillary Clinton. They got gay marriage. Everything was going their way. It looked like they were going to just run a victory lap. And they could wait it out. They could wait for America. They could wait for, you know, 2037 for America to become majority non-white. Everything was going their way. And then to me, I could be wrong on this, but to me, the election of Donald Trump in particular was something that alarmed a lot of Jews and kind of shifted the balance of Jewish power or Jewish public opinion more to the, we got to hurry up and seal this deal. And as a result, you're getting this ramping up of all sorts of things that we didn't see before. You know, the really blatant anti-whiteness. You look at the viciousness of Merrick Garland going after all sorts of white people. You have relatively normy Trump-supporting white people, and they're going. That's the way I see it. I don't know. Do you see it like that? Do you have any other ideas about it?
Yeah, I think that's probably about the most accurate thing that happened. Probably. If you want to hear a true conspiracy theory, I have a true conspiracy theory. It is really just a theory.
And I do want to hear it.
It would be a conspiracy too, so it makes it a true conspiracy theory. There's a theory that Trump was allowed to be elected, or if you will, like, he was put in place as kind of a milquetoast, pro-white, if you will, candidate, he was still a kosher candidate, right? Let's be frank about that. Of course, we would prefer him over Biden, but let's get that out of the way. He was still kosher, and the theory goes that he was allowed to be president as kind of a vent release valve for white. You know, white people that were getting pissed off about, you know, like what you had just described, you know, everything that's being crammed had been crammed down our throats previously, maybe not in as intense, you know, prior to 2016. But there's a theory, that he was allowed to elect as a release valve. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, so I don't think there is a plan. I think there are plans. Like, I don't think Jewish power is a monolith. And, of course, I don't think power, political power in America is entirely Jewish. I just think that they play a pivotal role. That Jewish power or powerful Jews are needed. They are necessary for most agendas to succeed. Most of the things that have happened, it's not as if Jews were the only people pushing for them. If you're talking about the, you know, Corona measures, you're talking about even the war with Russia. You're talking about the election hoax. You're talking about the race riots. All these things. There are certainly non-Jews who are involved, but I don't think any of these huge things that are going on would have succeeded if it weren't for powerful Jews pushing them. And so, here's the thing. I think there are a lot of people with a lot of plans, and or a lot of people with a lot of ways of looking at, even if they're not plans, there's ways of looking at things. And for instance, if you were just to look at the universe of RBN callers, or Stormfront Radio callers back in the day, and there's been a debate among, white nationalists, or however you want to describe these people, of whether worse is better.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth and a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
And there's been a debate among, white nationalists, or however you want to describe these people, of whether worse is better, right? Isn't that the thing? Is it worse, better? And
right.
There's a debate.
Are you talking about abstentionism?
Excuse me?
Are you talking about, like, accelerationism? Is that what you mean?
Yes. And there's a debate. The people there, just within our little community, there's a debate on something like that. Is it? And, of course, there's also a debate on whether... Donald Trump is part of the plan or not, which you're kind of alluding to. You're not really alluding to necessarily whether he was in on the plan, but whether there were people who said, okay, well, Donald Trump on the surface isn't good for us, but there might be like kind of a Jewish accelerationism, right?
Sure.
And
just to
so
be
there
clear,
may be.
I don't believe that this conspiracy theory was true, just to be clear. I think what you had mentioned is probably more close to what really happened, but I don't know. Do you think we'll ever really know what happened in 2016 or 2020?
We might get, more information and more evidence. Really know? I mean, do you ever really know anything that happened in the past, you can have a lot of information about it. But, even the Kennedy assassination, I think probably Michael Collins Piper's theory, that might be the most plausible one, which does involve Israel. But, even that, we really know. with 9/11, there's a lot of different ideas about what happened. Are we ever gonna know? I think clearly, for instance, 2020 was fraudulent. There's a fair amount of evidence, but are we gonna know exactly? I started diving back into some of the election returns in these swing states, but I don't quite have the, I haven't gotten enough material and done enough analysis to publish some sort of smoking gun at this point.
I have heard that Dinesh D'Souza's, and I know he's not really pro-white, or he's not even white by any means, but he's a conservative, I guess, if kind of a milquetoast in my opinion. But I'm sure, or I've heard that he made a really good documentary about the election fraud, but I don't know where to find it. Maybe it's
about 500 mules. How many mules is it? 500? Or is it 6 million mules? I don't know. It's a number of mules. It's several mules. Right?
Several mules to what?
It's a number of mules. Is it 500 mules? How many mules is it?
Oh, the name of the documentary?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me look it up.
Yeah, it's like a whole bunch of mules. I'm not sure how many, though. But that's the name of the documentary.
I gotcha.
And it may well be very good. I haven't seen it. I did, between the election and January 6th, I followed very closely events. And
2000.
I thought, 2,000?
Yes, 2,000 mules, that's what it's called.
That's a ton of mules, right?
A lot.
Because there's 2,000 pounds in a ton. So that's like a ton of mules. If they were 1 pound mules. But no, I followed the events very carefully, and Andrew Anglin has been pretty dismissive, and a lot of other people have been dismissive of Rudy Giuliani. Now, I'm dismissive of what's the guy's name? Lynn Wood, because I think he's a kook.
Right. And I'm kind of skeptical myself.
And Sidney Powell, I have heard that she's actually a smart and serious person, but I have the feeling that, she was following the same election machinery stuff that Lynn Wood was following and emphasizing. And she's a boomer. And boomers in computer technology, it's hard to say them in the same sentence sometimes. And I don't think she really understood what she was talking about. I'm not saying that she's a kook. I think she's a serious person. But I don't think she understood what she was talking about. But Rudy Giuliani wasn't pursuing that so much, not very much. He was mainly pursuing the illegal or unconstitutional changes in election rules, which is very easy to document, and then also the intimidation and the other shady activities that were going on regarding the counting and what do they call it, canvassing of the actual votes in these big cities and swing states.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good. And every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee. So I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Other shady activities that were going on regarding the counting and what do they call it, canvassing of the actual votes in these big cities in the swing states. And I thought Rudy Giuliani, he did a good job. He went to, I think, at least three different states in kind of like a traveling show, and he was getting state legislatures, at least the Republican in state legislatures, to hold hearings, and then he was having people present evidence at these hearings. I thought he did a really good job, frankly.
Yeah. He was also, the laptop, from hell, as it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was also, I believe he was investigating that, or his office was, or was he, wasn't he involved in that?
I think so, and of course that's really turned out to be something. Now, Mike Lindell, who I think is a good guy,
the MyPillow guy.
And I'm sure he lost some brain. Yeah. But he was a crackhead, and he's missing some brain cells. And he had a document, right?
Yes, that's correct.
You're aware of that. Yeah. And he had a documentary called Absolute Proof. I think that's what it was called, Absolute Proof. And I listened to that. I didn't watch it, but I listened to it. And honestly, it seemed like 2 hours of him talking to other people about how they have absolute proof without actually providing the absolute proof. That was my impression.
Yeah, I watched that too, on a really long road trip, actually, I was on. And, the very end, I found a little interesting. It got a little technical, and I'm a computer tech guy, so I could kind of hone into that. There was a computer expert guy, from Texas they had on there. And, I found that interesting. But other than that, yeah, it was a long, boring documentary. The only reason I kept awake is because I was driving.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that, and I'm not saying there wasn't code switching, and, you know, there were, you know, on TV where you've got one or another of the networks, and they're showing the vote tallies in real time, and there were some times where all of a sudden there was a, you know, big switch or a big jump, which is, it should be like that, but there are explanations, you know, plausible explanations other than all of a sudden election machines had votes flipped. There's other explanations for that that are also plausible. So I don't know, but you know, there could have been shenanigans going on within the election machines, but I just felt a lot less comfortable with the evidence that was coming out from that, as opposed to either the, you know, the bringing in paper ballots in suitcases in the middle of the night and having them counted, that type of thing. That type of thing, there was, seemed to be pretty good evidence for. And then there was just slam dunk evidence for the unconstitutionality of the legal changes that allowed for widespread mail in balloting in the first place. Anyway, so that's the election stuff. I want to get back to in a second, though, what we were talking about at the beginning. So we are close to nuclear war. Whether you like it or not. And for instance, you hear Tucker Carlson. I hear Tucker Carlson. You might not. I hear Tucker Carlson. And he doesn't like it. He says we're near a nuclear war. And he plays a clip of Vladimir Zelensky saying something, and he says, you see that, what Vladimir Zelensky said? That means he is calling. So he played a clip of Vladimir Zelensky. Zelensky said, I think he said as soon as, maybe he said before, but I think he said, speaking in English, said as soon as Vladimir Putin even thinks of using nuclear weapons, we've got to get him first. Something along those lines. So it was preemptive, you know, based on what we assume he's thinking, right? So, Tucker didn't like that. He was very critical of that. He played a clip of Anthony Blinken saying something to the United Nations. I can't remember what it was, because Blinken's, like he's a washed-up rock musician.
Right.
Washed up. Unlike us, because we're totally awesome.
We're totally and cool. Then, hey, I had a song playing on the radio.
There you go. I've had a song on the radio.
Right on. So we're rock stars, pretty good.
Yeah, nobody would even know that he plays music if he wasn't Secretary of State. Okay? And he sucks. But then he talked about Victoria Nuland sitting behind him, and he went into a lot of Victoria Nuland's past. And then he talked about neocons who brought us the Iraq War, and he named three or four Jews, but he won't say they're Jewish, right?
It's because white supremacy is our biggest problem, or our biggest threat.
White supremacy is the biggest threat. Right, and he'll talk about Merrick Garland, but he won't say that these are Jews, right? And so we've got all these people talking about the problems that Jews are creating, talking about them as individuals, naming them as individuals, but incapable of connecting what they're doing to any kind of Jewish agenda, right? And
yeah.
So it's because, you know, therefore the Democratic Party, it's because, I mean, Tucker does say that he has, at least recently, said that they want to overthrow Vladimir Putin, they want to do regime change, which is good, but okay, well, why? Why? Well, Tucker leaves it as, well, Tucker will say, well, Putin actually is a bad person. He is a bad person. He doesn't say why he's bad, but he is a bad person, and they tell us he's crazy, so we should believe it. That type of thing. So, I mean, he still throws Putin on the bus. You have other people, and there's a guy I've heard on the Brent Network. His name's Mitchell Henderson. And for the most part, I agree with what Mitchell Henderson has to say, except he talks about all these Jews, and maybe sometimes he does talk about them as Jews. Maybe. I've never heard him. He always talks about them as communists and Marxists. These are dedicated Marxists. And then he'll call, you know, Joe Biden a Marxist. Like, no, this isn't about Marxism. This is about, like, Jewish power, right? And then, you know, other people, if it's Alex Jones, if it's globalists, and if it's Chris Hedges, formerly at the New York Times, you know, this is their imperialist, it's the military-industrial complex. And they're talking about the same group of people doing the same things, and they have all these different names for them, except Jewish. And they can't say that. And so my question is, are we willing to just, we could avoid nuclear Armageddon, but we might seem racist, so maybe we'll just do Armageddon so we're not racist or anti-Semitic. Is that where we're at right now?
Well, yeah, I don't know. There are certainly some people who think that way. That reminds me of people that I've heard speaking of a similar tone. People that wanted to vote for Hillary Clinton because they thought that she would start a nuclear war and bring about the end days, which isn't going to be peaceful, you know. So it's kind of reminds me of that mindset. It's scary. And it's dangerous. It's very dangerous. They want to say white supremacy is a danger. It's like, oh, white people being supreme in their own nation that they've created, you know. It's what's dangerous is the Talmud and Jewish power. That's what's dangerous.
Right. That's what's dangerous. And I just want to say, for whether it's these Jews in Israel who want to build another temple or whatever, or the Christian Zionists or whomever, if you think God is all-powerful and all-knowing, right? I mean, isn't that kind of the point of this God? He doesn't really need our advice, right? He doesn't need you trying to push the ball forward by electing Hillary so that there will be a nuclear Armageddon, okay? Just go about your regular bit. If you really have faith in God, he's going to do his job. He doesn't need your help. Am I getting something wrong? Maybe I am. I don't know. I'm not a religious person.
I agree. I'm kind of not a religious person too. And if I think about it this way, my personal opinion, I have nothing against religious people, but religion, in and of itself seems to be the ultimate QAnon, right? It's like, trust the plan, you know, just trust the plan. Everything's going to be fine. So that's my view of it. Religion is the ultimate QAnon.
Well, you know, some religions can be like that.
I don't mean to offend people that are religious. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are religious listening, and there are a lot of really good religious people, but it's important to recognize that Christianity does have Middle Eastern roots, And it's not, in my view, for the European soul.
Well, you know, before the Middle Eastern religion came to Europe, Europeans had their own, we call it mythology, but they had their own religion. You had the Greek mythology, you had the Norse Scandinavian mythology, which we know about. You know, most of us know a thing or two about them. We know some of the names, you know, Jupiter or Zeus, you know, Thor and Odin, and of course, people who study these mythologies are able to connect them. They're able to connect a lot of them to similar stories from the Celtic people, from the Slavic people, and of course to Hinduism. The Hindu religion is actually much closer to the religion that our ancestors were practicing 2,100 years ago than certainly Christianity. But I'm not trying to put down Christianity. I'm not trying to put down religion. And honestly, I think, like, if you look at it from an evolutionary psychology or evolutionary biology, whatever, an evolutionary point of view, I think that religions have the capability of making a group stronger. They don't necessarily, but you can augment the strength of a group through a belief system. And I mean, obviously, if you think that by fighting valiantly in warfare that you will be rewarded in Valhalla or whatever, your group's going to have better fighters if the people really believe that. If they're not afraid of death, they're gonna be better fighters. They will, if they think there is a reward beyond this lifetime, they are going to act more altruistically. And if they also fear, punishment after death, then they are probably going to be more orderly and more law-abiding. And so I think for society, religion potentially, and maybe usually, is a great advantage.
Right. I just want to say that I think the Muslims have it wrong. They're supposed to get 72 virgins. That's what they believe. I believe it's a 72-year-old virgin.
Oh. So that changes things, doesn't it?
They're all in for a rude awakening.
That changes things. Oh, my gosh. Oh, never mind. Yeah, but are we too polite? I mean, really. Because you got, like, Tucker really seems to be alarmed at nuclear Armageddon. And a lot of other people do, too. And, you know, Scott Ritter seems to be very alarmed at this, for instance. And yet and really, if you really look at it, it's these Jews. It's the crazy Jews. They can't do it by themselves. Obviously, there's other people who are cooperating with them. But if you take them out of the equation, if you take Victoria Nuland and Vladimir Zelensky and some of these other people out of the equation, there's no war. Not this war. Are we too polite? I mean, and here's the thing. I can actually understand on an individual basis, somebody like Tucker saying that, well, if I talk about the Jews, then I'm going to lose my platform and I won't be able to spread the 75% truth that I'm doing. But, you know, then you leave it to people like David Duke, who talk, you know, he shouts it from the mountaintop, and he's relegated to, he's relegated to whatever. He is relegated. He's actually a pretty reasonably happy, good lucky person, but he's, kind of got short shrifted in my fifth one. But anyway, I'm not gonna about that. What do you think?
Well, I'm thinking about the 2000 Mules. I'm actually thinking about watching it here.
It would be good, and I'd like to hear about it. I obviously do.
Well, it says $20 American, and I think that's a little high. But like I was saying, I am kind of a cheapskate, so maybe I'll just go ahead and splurge.
Yeah, if you watch it with your special somebody.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
It would be good, and I'd like to hear about it. I obviously do.
Well, it says $20 American, and I think that's a little high, but like I was saying, I am kind of a cheapskate, so maybe I'll just go ahead and splurge.
Yeah, if you watch it with your special somebody, and you think of it as like two tickets, yeah, you're going to spend $20 taking somebody to the movies.
I don't eat popcorn, though. It's bad for your teeth. I recommend not eating popcorn.
Is it bad for your teeth?
Yes.
Because you get the little kernel skin in between your teeth. It's up there. Although, if they get stuck between your teeth and then you floss them out, they probably push out a lot of stuff. That might, I don't know. What do I know?
Fair point, yeah.
When I was a kid, my mother told me that apples were nature's toothbrush.
Hey, it's getting ready. We're getting ready to be fall. Or actually, we're in fall. It's, the first day of fall was a couple days ago. So they're getting ready to be apple festivals. The apple bag is going to go to apple festivals.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, where'd you get? We're almost out of time, but where'd you get the name filbert apple bag from? Where'd the apple bag?
It was.
Is that like your apple?
No, it was a filbert is a nut, you know, and it's incorrectly referred to as a Negro toe, I guess I could say. And it's a hazelnut. It's incorrect. I believe hazelnuts are filberts. And it's incorrectly sometimes referred to as a Negro toe. And the apple bag came from...
An N-word toe? Like N-word toe?
Yes. And the apple, the word apple bag is a slang for private parts, testicles. So basically, we're in testicles. That was the crux of the. And I unfortunately can't even claim credit for having it. But I liked it so much, I kept it. It kind of stuck.
I think we all like it. It's okay. Well, that's where it comes from. Am I sorry I asked?
No, it's funny. It's funny. It's just hard to explain
in
a manner.
Well, I want to thank you for joining me, Filbert. It's been a very interesting show and important.
Yes. What is pleasure, and I'll look forward to next time.
Okay, and there will be a next time, God willing, and if we don't get into a nuclear Armageddon, I will be back hopefully next time with more exciting episodes of National Nuclear Radio.
FBI informants at the January 6th protest? What's next? The government going to say that COVID came from a lab? I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. The federal government has finally admitted at least 5 FBI informants were involved with the Oath Keepers at the Capitol on January 6th. So if there was a seditious conspiracy or insurrection planned, the FBI knew about it. And if that's the case, why weren't the police prepared? Where was the riot gear? Why wasn't the National Guard called up? Everyone knew the protest was scheduled and expected to bring 250,000 people to D.C. Gee, it almost looks like the people in charge of security wanted the protest to turn violent. Find more news and comment at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.